All right. Yeah, we're getting close now to presents. You know, every year for the past 25 years, we have had a conference where we spend the first week of the year pressing into God. And so this year will be our 25th time to do this. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it because I believe as we move out of the decade of the teens into the new decade of the 20s, that we're going to see something great and wonderful happen. I just feel like as I've been praying and seeking the Lord personally, I just feel like the Lord just said to me, everything that you've done has prepared you for what is about to come. And I believe this next decade may be the greatest decade of my life. That's what I'm trusting God. That's what I'm believing for. And I'm believing that us, all of us together, we're going to have the greatest time that God will let people have on earth. How about that? You like that, all right? Yeah, I want to encourage you. Yeah, today I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Title of today's message is Forget Those Things That Are Behind You. Forget those things that are behind you. You know what? There was a lot of stuff that went on in 2019. Some of it was good. Some of it was bad. Some of it was horrible. Some of it was a meltdown. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to draw the line on 2019 and leave all that stuff over there. As we enter into 2020, I believe be the greatest year of our life. How about that? Yeah, Philippians chapter 3. Here's Paul writing to the Philippian church, a end of the year letter, if you will. He's writing them a letter. He'd already been there. He'd already visited there. He'd already had some disciples there. And what happened after he left was that people began to creep in. Creeps. You know, creeps always creep in. And the creeps began to creep in and really began to tell these new believers that Jesus was not enough, that they had to be circumcised, that they had to follow the law. And these men were called Judaizers. And the Judaizers were coming in and disrupting the church and robbing from what the grace of God had already done in people's lives. So in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we're going to pick up the story there. Finally, my brethren, finally, the teens are over. The 20s are here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it's safe. For me to tell you over and over and over the vision that God has given us, the mission that we have together, the core values that we believe in and live our lives by the important things of the Bible, of the gospel. For me to tell you over and over and over is not tedious for me, but it's needful for us to stay on course, for us to stay on the trajectory that God has for us. You see, God didn't bring us together today, didn't bind all of us together today so that we could just go about our merry way and do whatever we want to do. No, we're together because God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And so to share the vision, the mission, to share the expectation that we have together as a team, the expectation that we have together as a community is important. So he says, for me to write the same things to you, that's not tedious, because for you, it's safe. Verse 2 says, beware of dogs. I'm going to sometimes just preach on that message right there. Just beware of dogs. Okay? But he's not talking about little Fluffy that you have at your house. He's talking about the wild and vicious dogs that ran in packs in that day, that attacked people unprovoked. And so he's comparing them to these Judaizers. These Judaizers who came in wild. Judaizers who came in vicious. Judaizers who came in putting to asunder the real grace of God that had happened in these new believers' lives. So he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers, people who do evil things, he says. And beware of the mutilation. Here he's firing a scud back at the Judaizers. And he's saying, look, what you're doing, this mutilating people, you know, this circumcision that you're making them go through is nothing more than just mutilating them. It does no good. It serves no good. They've received the grace of God in their life. They're walking as a born-again new believer, and you're putting them under this law. And so it accounts for a mutilation. He says, we are the real circumcision, verse 3. And then he goes through a synopsis of what this Christian life looks like. He says, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And so you want to know what real New Testament Christianity is about? This is what it's all about. He says, number one is that we worship God in the Spirit. We are spiritual beings. We don't just come together on Sunday or make it to a sacrifice or make it to a picnic or make it to somewhere and just check the box and say, I've done my Christian duty. We're spiritual beings. And we've learned and are learning how to worship God 7 days a week. Not just that one moment in time where we're together as a church in a corporate body. But we're learning to worship God in the Spirit. Number two is we're rejoicing in Christ Jesus. What Jesus did for us, we couldn't do for ourselves. He paid the price that you and I owed that we couldn't, a debt that we could never have paid. He paid that price for us so that we could be free and have an abundant life. So we rejoice in Jesus. And finally, he says here that we have no confidence in the flesh. We don't put any confidence in our gifting. And we don't put any confidence in our personality, our intellect, our the lineage and the ancestry that we have. None of that counts. None of that counts. What counts is that we put our confidence in Jesus Christ and his word to us. And that's what our confidence is, that he is faithful, even when we're faithless. And so I thought this is a great segue to really talk about the vision and the mission of our church. Our vision really is to build a community for God seekers, for people who are searching after God. You're here this morning because you're not satisfied. You can be confident and happy in where you are, but you're not satisfied in your Christian life. You want to grow. You want to know God more. You want to have a relationship with him that's deeper, that's more expansive, that has more life to it. And so we're building a community for people like you and me, people who are searching for more of God. And this community is something that's kind of interesting because it's a community where lost people get saved, where saved people get pastored, where pastored people get trained, and where trained people get mobilized. The way we like to say it is our mission really is to help you to know God. And one of the main ways that we do that is just what we're doing right now, a corporate worship service where we can teach, preach, and minister the Word of God so that it'd be an impetus for us, a diving board for us to dive off into a deeper, more meaningful, more relevant, more authentic relationship with God. We want you to find freedom. We believe that when you get into a group of free people, you'll get free yourself. And so we do that in small groups. Thirdly, we want you to discover the purpose for which God made you. We have a growth track that meets the first four Sundays of every month. Now, most months only have four Sundays, but Sunday like this has a fifth. But every month we have our growth track. And what you saw today, these 11 people who represent the 24 over the last quarter have gone through that growth track. They've found really the purpose that God has for their life, the gifting that they have, and they're beginning to find a place to serve and to minister in the gift that God has given them. And so it's important. We found out that over 90% of born-again Christians in the U.S. have no clue what their spiritual gift is. And therefore, they never really walk in the satisfaction of knowing that they're doing what they were called to do. So it's important. And how do we do that here? It's through our growth track, where we help you discover your purpose. And finally, we want to help you make a difference. We do this with service teams. The idea is this. Look, I don't know if you grew up in a family like this, but my family, during the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas, that once the meal was done, everybody had a job to do. Because it's a family. This is what we do. Everybody has something to do. So somebody would vacuum, somebody took out the trash, somebody washed the dishes, somebody dried the dishes. Everybody had something to do. And so it's important that in a spiritual family that every one of us make a contribution as well. And we do that here through service teams. And so that really is the vision and the mission that we have as a church. This is the way that we interpret this passage, that we worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. And what I've just shared, I think, will be borne out in some of the rest of this chapter. Beginning in verse 7, he says, Paul writing, he says, but what things were gained to me, these things I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss. Why? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And so all the things that I've attained, all the degrees that have come to me, all the honor that I have received, none of it is important to me as the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And he says this phrase, my Lord, the Lord of my life, whom I serve, the person that I serve. And he says, for I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Now, we're talking about someone here who's already evangelized a good piece and a good part of the Western civilization. And so he was in a place where he was saying that, hey, even though I've done all that kind of stuff, none of that really matters. Because at the end of the day, I want to know him. I want to have not just a relationship with him, but I want to hear the sound of his voice. I want to feel his breath on me. I want to really know the Lord. And he says, the thing that I strive for, want for, look for, is really is that knowledge of Christ that I may gain him. That I may gain him. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Many times we try to make ourselves presentable and respectable and honorable enough so that we can somehow get into God's presence. But you see, that is a futile activity. You know, what we need to understand is that Christ died for us and he became the righteousness of God for us. And so that when we find our life hidden in him, then we are the righteousness of God because our trust is not in our ability to keep the rules. It's not in our ability to keep the law. No one could do that but Jesus. Our trust is in him, that we might know him, that we might have a relationship with him, that we might love him, that we might walk with him, that he might be the center of our life and all of our activities. And so he says that righteousness, which is through faith in Christ, that is the righteousness which is from God by faith. And that's the kind of righteousness we want to be. Why? Verse 10, he hits it again. So that I may know him. That's the pinnacle of my Christian life. It's not all the sacrifices that I've made. It's not all the difficulties that I have overcome. It's not the fact that I've been imprisoned, I've been beaten. It's none of that stuff. The real pinnacle of my Christian faith is not in writing the New Testament. The real pinnacle of my faith is to know him. It's to know him. So when I talk about us being a community of people who are searching after God, what are we searching for? His hand? No, we're searching for his heart. We want to know him. We want to know him. You know, I've been reading this past week, which is not unusual for me, but one of the things, an article I read, is some of the trends that are going to be facing the church in 2019. And one author said this. He said this, cool church is no longer enough. Cool church is no longer enough. Everybody's got lights. Everybody has some kind of form of contemporary worship. Everybody's got a drum kit with lights shining on it. Everybody's got all this stuff in here. Oh, the cloud. Everybody's got that. People aren't looking for that. People are looking for Jesus. They want to know the Lord. They want to have a relationship with the power and the life of God. They want to know that when they pray, God hears them. And they want to know that they can hear the voice of the Lord too. They want to see his power manifest to do something that we can't do. He does through us. And so cool church is not going to be enough anymore. He says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, the power of his resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you. So stop groveling around. We want to know him. We want to know him. He says, being conformed to his death and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, one of the ways that we can really get to know the Lord is by reading the Bible. You say, well, that's the old-fashioned way. Yeah, it still works. Still works. And, you know, I've had a lot of opportunities over the years that I've been ministering, that I've been a pastor, to read the Bible through. But it's been a while since I've read it freely from cover to cover. And so earlier this year, we had some friends in Atlanta who pastor a church, and they had bought Bibles for all of their church to read together. It's called the One-Year Bible. So when I heard about it, Nancy and I talked about it, I thought, man, this is really a great idea. This is a way for every one of us to read through the Bible all the way through it in 1 year. And the way that it's set up, it's not so monotonous in some places. I have to admit that there's pieces and places and parts of the Bible that you just got to check the box to get through it, right? But this particular Bible is set up where there is an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a passage from the book of Psalms, and a proverb. And every day you work through those four things. And so you're not just reading all the way through Genesis, and then you get all the way through Exodus, and you get all the way through Leviticus, and then all the way through Numbers. No, no, you're reading a passage from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and you're reading a passage from the Psalms and a proverb. Now, here's what I wanted to say to you. Can we have a family talk just for a minute? Yes. Can we have a family talk just for a minute? Okay, sometimes, you know, Dad just has to say, this is what we're going to do. Okay, I've given you a chance to get one and of your own free will. Right? For 3 weeks, we've been trying to pass these out. We said, oh, only there, Leah. I said, if we give you one, you got to read it, right? And so when Nancy and I looked at this, found the cheapest ones we could find were $10 a piece. So we paid $10 a piece for this. We're going to give this to you. Only thing is, we want you to read it. And some of you said, well, you know what? I just don't know if I want to commit. Others of you said, I'm just not sure I have time. Well, I've been reading all the way through November, all the way through December. It's 8 to 10 minutes every day. If you get behind a day, then it's 16 to 20 minutes. If you get behind 3 days, then it's 24 to 30 minutes. Okay? See what I'm saying? So you don't want to get behind. Now, I just want to have this little conversation with you. I've given you a chance to do this on your own. Some of you have not done it yet. Now, I'm telling you, I ain't asking, I'm telling. When you walk out this door, pick up you a Bible. Say, well, I got my own Bible plan. No. You can do that own Bible plan after you do this one. Because we're going to do this together. Why are we going to do this together? Because we need to be in the Word. Yeah. Why are we going to do this together? Because it's going to give us opportunity to talk to each other and hold each other accountable for reading the Bible. Why are we going to do this together? Because most of us have never read through the Bible ever, much less in a year. Okay? And so by this time next year, we're going to be looking at a room full of people who've read the Bible through, right? So look at me real carefully. Not smiling. Look at it. When you walk out that door, get you a Bible, okay? And let's all do this together because God wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. And one of the greatest ways we can do that is through the Word of God. So he says, not that I've already attained, verse 12, nor am I already perfected, but I press on. Everyone say press. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. There's a reason that you're in this room today. There's a reason that we're all together today. There's some kind of divine appointment to our moment here together today. You would not be here if God had not brought you here. To make you a part of a community and part of a family that he has plans on using and working through to make an impact in this part of the city. And not only this part of the city, but in the whole world. God brought you here. Those 24 that have become members in the last quarter, all those folks, you're just right in time because we need you. We need your gift. We need your personality. We need you. And so Paul here says, I don't count myself, no, back up, Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Why? So that I can lay hold of God for what he's laid hold of me for. God has done something in my life. The question is, why did he do it? And why does he want me with you, right? And so Paul says, I'm going to take hold of God, and I'm not going to let go until I know what the answer to that problem is. It's reminiscent, really, of Jacob. Jacob has a fight with an angel all night long. And at daylight, he begins to say to this angel, he said, you know what? The angel says, let me go. But Jacob, even though he was fatigued, he fought it all back, and he says, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And in that moment, Jacob was blessed, and his name changed from Jacob to Israel because he had a life-changing encounter with God. The woman with the issue of blood, what did she do? Jesus is coming to town. I'm going to get to him. No excuses, no feeling victimized, not today. Today, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. And she works her way through the crowd. She's pushed. She's mangled. There's a lot of people there. She's in poor health. Her energy level is very, very low. But she knows if I can just get to Jesus, my life will never be the same again. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, I'm going to lay hold of God. If I can just get to him, if I can just put my hands on him, if I can just get my heart to him, then I'm going to find out why he saved me. And what the purpose he has for my life and why he brought us together. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13 says, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. One thing, he says, I do. I forget those things that are behind me. I forget them. Those bad things. Those difficult waters that you swam through this year. The divorce that you had. The lost job. The business failure. The broken relationship. A child who's addicted to drugs. Those things, the lost job, those things. I'm forgetting what lies behind me. I'm forgetting those things. I like to watch the World's Strongest Man competition. Y'all ever watch that? Yeah. Yeah, they got those guys on there. They hook them up. They put this belt on them with a hook, and they hook them up to a trailer truck. A 60,000-pound trailer truck, and they blow the whistle, and the guy who can pull the truck the furthest within the amount of time is the winner of that. That's just one of the events. He's the winner of that event. And as I've watched that sometimes, I realize that some of us in the spirit look just like that with our past. We have our past hooked to us. It's a 60,000-pound weight. And we're huffing and puffing and pulling that thing into the new year. Well, here's what I'm telling you. Today, I'm cutting the chain. I'm breaking that thing off. We're not going to carry 2019 into 2020. You know, you say, well, man, I had a fantastic year. And you know what you'll do? Had a fantastic year? You'll measure the coming year by the last year. And you'll miss the wonder that's in the new year for you. So we're going to cut off the year. Just cut off. It's not to say that it was all bad or it was all good. We're just going to look forward to the wonder of what God has for us this year. Last year might have been awesome, great, fantastic. It's a whole new year coming up. It's a whole new year coming up. And this is what he says. He says, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things that are ahead. It's one move, moving from the things that are behind me to reaching forward to the year that's ahead of me with excitement, with passion. Man, it's going to be awesome. Man, the opportunities that are coming, the potential that is there, the life that God has for me, it's going to be awesome. I'm not messing with what was in the past. I ain't pulling around a 60,000-ton bunch of problems, cutting them off. Yeah. It's one thing I do. I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what's in my future. He says, now watch this, now watch this. For I press on. Watch this, he says. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What generally happens the first month of the year? We decide the first month of the year that we need to lose some weight. We decide that we need to start working out a little bit. So what do? We go and join a gym. Now, here's the problem. Joining a gym is a good thing, only if you use the gym. And what we do is we got our new Lululemons on, and we walk into that gym, and we watch everybody working out, and we think we're going to get fit watching them work out. Amen. Then by the end of the year, by the end of the month, we realize that we're not going to get fit watching everybody else. And what we do is we find the weight machine, and we begin to press those weights. We begin to press them. And here's what we realize. In the moment that we start pressing them, that they resist us. That's why it's called resistance training, right? They resist us, and it's uncomfortable. It doesn't make me happy. And it doesn't, and even after I do it, I don't show any difference in the mirror. I look the very same. And I want to be in shape, but round is a shape, right? And so I just realized that this is doing me no good. After one time it worked out, it's doing me no good, so I quit. Do you know we do the very same thing in the spirit? Yeah. We do the very same thing in the spirit. You want to bust out of the status quo, you're going to have to press out of it. And the moment you start pressing, you're going to get resistance. You say, well, this year I'm going to press and I'm going to get into a small group. Guess what? It'll be on a night you already have your dance class. It'll be on a night where there's already volleyball practice. It'll be on a night where, you know, and you say, oh, gosh, that's, you know, because I'm pressing, but there's resistance coming against me. You decide I'm going to find a place to serve in the church. And you look around and you try one thing, and that really wasn't much fun. So, you know, you scatter. First you start on the front row, go back to the third row, go back to the seventh row, go back to the last row, and you find you're out the door. And so here's what you got to understand. If you're going to press beyond the status quo of your Christian life, there's going to come some resistance. But it's in the resistance that makes you stronger. It makes you stronger. Paul recognized this. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I know that it's going to resist me. I know that my flesh is going to fight against it. I know that people are going to say things about me behind my back. I know that it's not going to be comfortable. I know that I'm unfamiliar with some of these things. Some of you have never fasted a day in your life. Some of you have never, you know, really read the Bible all the way through. Some of you have never done any of those things. If you're going to do them, you better realize right now it's going to be some resistance. It's going to be some resistance. But the reward is a stronger, more satisfied, more fulfilling life. Look, you just got to get consistent. Some days when I exercise, it's just because all I'm doing is checking the box. But the next day, I come back strong. I like it. Feels good. And so it's the same way with your Christian life. When you press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, you're going to be resisted. Just get ready. That resistance is going to make you stronger. It's going to bust you out of the orbit of your status quo relationship with God. It's going to break you out of the check-the-box church existence. It's going to break you out of all that. Why? Hebrews 12:1 says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Here at the end of 2019, we're going to throw off those things that hold us back. Those things that hold us back. I'm looking around, I'm seeing people of all ages in here. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're 100 or you're 10. God's got something great for you this year. But in order to experience it, you're going to have to press beyond the resistance. Yeah. We're going to cut off those things in 2019 that hinder us. We're going to move out of those things and move away from them. And we're going to throw off the sin that so easily entangles us, the Bible says. Why? Because Isaiah 43 says, don't remember the former things. Don't consider the things of old. Why? Because I'm doing a new thing. God is doing something new. In Revelation chapter 21, Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. He wants to do something new in your life. He wants to do something new in your heart, new in your relationship with Him. But in order to experience the new, you got to cut off the old. Does that make sense? Why? Because He said, this one thing I did, just one move, cut off the old and press into the new. And know in that moment when you press into it, you're going to get resistance back. But you're going to press into it. Why? Because it's the high upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He has more for you than you're experiencing right now. He's got more. He's got more. Here's a thought. Everybody has a card when you came in. Did you get one of these cards? Yeah. If you don't, just raise your hand. Someone in the back will come and they'll bring you a card. Just raise your hand. I made this card for you. Great. It's blank. The reason it's blank is because you're going to write on it. I wrote right at the top of mine, things that I'm going to leave behind in 2019. Things that I'm going to leave behind in 2019. You might want to write that on top of your card. Things that I'm going to leave behind in 2019. I want to let you in on mine. Number one is I'm going to leave the past. You know, it'd be an easy thing to do. Say, oh, man, 25 years of labor. 25 years of ministry, 25 years of going for this, and look at all the great things that happened. I think I'll leave that right in 2019. Start 25 like it's brand new year, like it's year one again. Yeah. If it's good past, fantastic. If it's bad past, great too. I'm going to leave that behind. Number two, I'm going to leave behind my disappointments and my failures. I got a 60,000-pound load of those babies. I'm going to leave them behind. And number three, I'm going to leave behind my fatigue and my unmet expectations. Y'all ever heard of PTS? Post-traumatic syndrome? Yeah, that's what I got after 25 years of pastoring, y'all. I'm kidding. Everybody relax, I'm kidding. I feel like, man, I'm new again. I'm ready for year one to start all over again. I'm excited about it. And I think we're going to have the best year of our life. So I'm going to take this because today is Shredder Sunday. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, is he serious? It is Shredder Sunday. And I'm going to shred my past, the disappointments and failures, fatigue and the unmet expectation. I'm going to shred it. There it goes. There it goes. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to shred yours, too. In a few minutes, you'll have that opportunity. Let me give you some ideas of what you could leave behind in 2019. You could leave behind your check-the-box Christianity. Yeah, you could leave that behind. You could leave behind comparing yourself with others. Let that go. Seriously, let that go. There's nobody on earth like you. And so stop comparing yourself to others. And just, hey, just enjoy who God made you to be, right? Financial debt. Now, when I said, remember when I said there's be resistance? One of the resistance of getting rid of financial debt is learning how to spend less. Yeah. And so financial debt, we can leave that in 2019. Fear and anxiety. You know, fear is the biggest thief in the world. Fear robs you of great experiences. Fear robs you of great relationships. Fear robs you of things that God wants to bless you with. But we're going to leave that in the past. Fear, anxiety, worry. Insecurity. That voice in your head that says you're not enough. That voice that says you're less than. That voice that says that, you know what, if people really knew you, they would not like you. I'm going to get rid of that. I'm going to leave that in the past. Insecurity. Unforgiveness and bitterness. We're going to let that go. We're going to let it go. We're not going to carry unforgiveness into 2020. We're going to let that go. How about this one? Our love affair with our cell phone. Leave that 2019. I mean, look, here's a thought. Everybody's going to go to lunch either today or tomorrow or whatever. Leave your phone in the car and talk to the person you're at lunch with. How will that be? Would that be awesome? Yeah. Say, well, I just put it in my back pocket. No, no. Leave it in the car. Well, what if somebody breaks in and steals it? More power to you, baby. So you're in love with your phone. Bad habits, bad relationships, bad jobs. Some have griped and moaned about your job for 2 or 3 years. Here's a thought. Get a vision for God for what he wants you to do and quit. Find something else. How about that? Just a thought. Oh, well, Pastor Joe, you told me to quit, so I went home and quit. No, you forgot to get the vision. Get the vision for what God wants you to do, and then let your job go. Quit griping, quit moaning. Say, well, it's not so bad, Art. Then just quit griping and enjoy it. Addictions, loneliness, unhealthy social media. How about this? Is it maybe one day a week we don't look at any social media? Let's just start there. How about that? Just start there. So these things you can leave behind in 2019. You probably have your own. Whatever it is, I want you to write it down. And Kiwi, I really need your help. Would you come up here and help me? Thank you. Yeah, this is Kiwi. Kiwi's one of the superstars in our church. Yeah. And Kiwi, here's what I want you to do is I want you to be the keeper of the shredder, okay? So you're the keeper of the shredder. In a few minutes, I want you to walk up and just give your card to Kiwi, and she will shred, right? She's honest. She'll shred it up. Won't lead her to look at her anything, all right? Is that okay? Is yours ready to shred?
Yeah.
All right, we'll put it in here. Just see if it works. Look. Woo! Oh, yeah. That's it. That's it. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. Things to leave behind in 2019. Hopefully you've written something down. And hopefully just a few steps up to this stage, handing those things to Kiwi and watching them being shredded will help, it'll be a visual that'll help you cut the past and reach forward to the great potential God has in this coming year. This is the last Sunday of a decade. We have a whole new decade ahead of us. And let me just say it once in case you didn't hear it the first time I said it. It's going to be the greatest decade of our life. It's going to be the greatest decade of our life. If you think about where you were 10 years ago today, the last Sunday of 2009, and think about your life since then to now, come on, somebody tell me it hadn't been an awesome ride. I mean, it's been an awesome ride. You just wait till the next decade. You just get started good. God has something great in store for all of us. Amen? Okay, you got your card ready? Father, in Jesus' name, we're going to leave these things behind in 2019, and we're going to enter 2020 by pressing in to Jesus. Lord, help us, Lord, see 2020 as the greatest year of our life, full of wonder, full of potential, full of joy, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, bring your cards on. While you're bringing your cards on, here's some things you can press into. You can become a seeker of God. Read your Bible. Take a big step of faith. Start a small group. Join a small group. Make a new friend. Do the growth track. Forgive and release others. Exercise. Be a scary giver. Yeah, you can press into all that. Hallelujah. Fantastic. Fantastic. How's this feel? Huh? Get rid of this stuff. I mean, put it to death. Shred it up. Shred it up. Loneliness, we're going to shred that up. Check the box, Christianity, we're going to shred that up. We're going to shred up unforgiveness, bitterness, unmet expectations, financial debt, fear. Boy, I see fear being shredded. Fantastic. See it being shredded up. Fantastic. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace throughout the rest of this decade. And I'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.